Hello, my name is Mike Tolti. I work for Microsoft in the UK, and this is a set of short screencasts trying to provide something of a tour of the networking stack in Silverlight 4. Specifically, a Silverlight 4 beta and Visual Studio 2010 beta 2 is what I'm using to target that at the moment. The videos probably make sense, at least within a category, to watch them in order. So we did a chunk of stuff around HTTP, and I may extend that a little bit as we go along. And we did a chunk of stuff around sockets. And this wasn't really meant to imply that if you're working with Silverlight, you have to use HTTP and raw sockets. There is, of course, Windows Communication Foundation support. It just so happens that WCF kind of sits on top of HTTP and sockets. And so it's kind of useful to see some things in this order, or at least that's how it makes sense in my head. So let's move and switch to talk about WCF. I just want to flesh this out a little bit as we go along. So in terms of WCF in Silverlight, what you see is a couple of different transports in there. So we've got transports, namely HTTPS and TCP for WCF and Silverlight 4. So they are in there. In terms of sort of, I don't know what the right word is, message encodings, if you like, you can use text-based encodings and binary encodings. Those are, the binary encodings is really the proprietary end of the spectrum. So this is kind of MS-specific binary as opposed to some kind of open standard binary that you might be familiar with things like MTOM from the full.NET framework. In terms of sort of protocols, so there's support in there for SOAP. Really probably the best way to say this is it supports WSI Basic Profile 1.1. So this is really simple sort of web services with XML, HTTP, SOAP and WSDL. So that's really what's supported in there. There is also a little support in there for some subset of WS security and support for WS addressing as well. But if you're looking for those advanced sort of protocols, things like WS Trust, WS Reliable Messaging, those kinds of things, then they are not in Silverlight as a client. But realistically speaking, most web services kind of stick within this world anyway, certainly the most interoperable ones, so it's not, you know, kind of the end of the world if those things aren't actually in there. In terms of sort of message patterns that are in there, you can do request and response over HTTP, you can do duplex over TCP, and you can also do a form of duplex, which is called polled duplex, over HTTP as well, which is kind of HTTP and with a polling mechanism, but the WCF sort of programming model that's presented to you is actually a duplex model, so maybe we'll take a look at that as well as we go along. It's probably worth saying that things that you've already seen, the fact that networking is Silverlight is asynchronous, so that is also part of the WCF support. Everything is asynchronous. And the fact that, for instance, HTTP is subject to cross-domain and cross-scheme policies and so on, that still applies if you're doing WCF. So what you already learnt about HTTP still applies here in the WCF world. And for TCP, is still subject to what looks like a security policy. So exactly the same that you saw on the TCP traffic. Just because you put WCF on top of TCP doesn't mean that goes away. It means that it's still there. You're just layering something on top of it. And that's kind of the rationale as to why I walked through some of these things before we got to WCF, because you're kind of familiar with those sorts of ideas. In terms of authentication support, we can do things again like integrated security, so we can use, you know, Basic, Digest, Windows, that kind of stuff, integrated just with the web server. Or there's also in there my little star on there for WS security. There is also support in there for what WCF calls transport with message credential. So that's where you stick a security header into a SOAP message and then get the server to pick that apart, having protected it with HTTP. It's worth saying, actually, that is only available as HTTP. I don't think there's any security on the WCF TCP stuff, so let's say no security on that. I don't think so, unless you do something custom on it. Okay, so with all that said, let's go and switch over to Visual Studio and take a look at some WCF stuff in Silverlight 4. Okay, so I'm just going to spin up VS. I'm going to run this as admin because I want to open up real websites on my web server as opposed to just create websites with Cassini. And let's let that just spin up. Okay, and let's just do file, open existing website. And I'm just going to go to my web server, and I've got this WCF site over here, so let's open that up. And we'll play around with this a little bit as we go along. Let's just have a look at our Solution Explorer here. Oops, it's all kind of got over there. Let's bring it over here. So on this website, I've got a few different folders with a few different bits and pieces in them, and we'll come back and look at these. I thought it might be interesting to show that I've got an old-style ASMX ASP.NET web service here, not a WCF service, an ASMX web service. And we'll take a look at that in a moment. I've got another service which is hiding behind basic authentication, and I've got another service which is hiding behind username and password authentication. And we'll take a look at playing around with these things. In order to do that, I probably need to build a Silverlight client, and I won't put it onto this website because I'm trying to keep this website kind of clean. So I'll just go to my solution and we'll add a new website, and I'll call my website something like, let's just go and make one of these. So let's just have a empty website, and I'll host that up at client bits, something like that. So that's just localhost client bits, and we'll host that up there. And then, of course, into that particular website, I want to go and add a Silverlight client. So we'll just go back to... what's going on there? Let's go back to our solution. Let's add a new project. That new project will be a Silverlight application. I'm just going to throw that into ctemp, and we'll call this SL client... yeah, that's probably fine, as long as I've not got one of those. Let's call it SL client for video, just to make sure I've not got one of those already. And that should all be fine. And I'd like that thing to be referenced from my client bits website, and all that other stuff looks cool, so let's go for that. Okay, so we've got a project structure set up. So I'm really kind of mimicking a situation where we have one website serving up a Silverlight client, and it's then calling onto web services from another website. And that's pretty common, and you know, standard sort of thing to want to do. Let's just let all the bits spin up. And only in my case, it's a bit odd because both of my sites are actually starting on the same domain. And we'll try and sort of manipulate that as we go along. So let me just close all these things down. So basically, we've got our Silverlight project, we've got our WCF web services, and we've got our website that's hosting the Silverlight project. I'll get rid of that aspects page and just set this HTML page as my start page, just to make that kind of clear. Okay, so let's just go to our Silverlight application and make a little bit of UI. I'm not going to be particularly precious about this. It just needs to be kind of done quickly. So let's just say grid.row definitions, and let's have a row, and let's have another row. And that second row for the moment can just be auto height. And then what we'll do is we'll simply go ahead and create a list box. We'll say items source equals binding. And we'll just put into that list box some data. So we'll just say listbox.itemTemplate. And we'll put a data template in there in a second. Oops, nearly. We'll put one of those in there in a second. I'm also going to throw a button in here, and we'll just say grid.row equals 1. And yeah, I can't type. Row equals 1, we'll say margin equals a bit of margin. We'll say content equals call ASMX service. That's kind of where we'll start off. And we'll just say click equals on ASMX service, something like that. And so we just go ahead and do that. We'll come back to that item template in a second. Let's just put our code behind that button press. And we'll simply say event handler on ASMX service. So I'm not pretending that any of this is kind of best practice. We're just trying to get some code on the screen as quickly as possible. Let's go take a look at that ASMX service for a moment then. What we've got behind this folder over here in this ASMX service is peopleservice.asmx. And you'll notice that what it's doing, if you've kind of lost track of ASMX web services over time, is it's just using this people service class over here. And if we take a look at that, in our code folder, we've got our people service web service. Again, not necessarily reflecting best practices even for ASMX web services, because we don't have any separate interfaces here. But we made a class, people service, which is a web service. It has one method on it called getPeople. It returns you a list of person. And we just call this function here to make a list of person objects. And if we take a look at that, we've got this class person. Person just has a first name, a last name, and an age. And then we've got this make test people function, which just creates 20 people with automatically generated names on. So we just got this web service. It's always going to return a list of 20 people in response to that call. You might notice that, remembering ASMX web services, I'm using XML attributes to specify that these things should be serialized as attributes and not elements. So I'm kind of forcing attribute-centric XML. And there's a reason why I'm doing that. It was pretty common to do this kind of thing with ASMX web services, and it's not so compatible with the WCF data contract serializer. And that's exactly why I forced it to do this. And we'll see that in a second. So let's just go, I suppose we could go and view this in a browser. Let's just go say, hey, view that in a browser. That's the web service itself. And it's an Asmx web service. Hopefully it spins up. And we can get its WSDL document. There's the WSDL document. And we could even invoke it. And, you know, even in a browser, we can invoke that over HTTP GET. And we get the data back. So that's all kind of fine. Okay, cool. So let's close that down. And so again, not being particularly precious about it, let's go back to our UI and let's fill in that data template so we can bind to those people objects. Let's just put a stack panel in there. And into that stack panel, let's just add something like, let's say a text block. Text is going to be bound to first name. And let's put another text block. Text can be bound to last name. And let's put another text block in there, and text can be bound to age, I think we had on there as well. So it's not going to be very pretty. Let's just put a little margin around it so it's not really horrendous. Let's do something like that. So we've got something that will display anything that has first name, last name, and age on there, and that's kind of how it's going to work. And yeah, let me just give this thing a name. Yeah, let's give it a name whilst we're here as well. Okay, so it's called ListBox now. All right, fine. Let's go and see what we can do about calling that service from our Silverlight client. So what we want to do, of course, is add a service reference. And we can probably go and discover that Asmx web service. So let's see if we can discover it. And our Asmx web service is that one at the top. Let's call this Asmx proxy code, just so I can keep track of it. And I think we should be okay just to go and okay that. I'm hoping we'll get some stuff that just kind of works. Just let the whole thing generate. And you might notice, being very, very smart, that Visual Studio just went and added a reference to system.xml.serialization in addition to other things. And if we just peer into that proxy code for a minute, and this was really the reason for including this in the first place, you'll notice that our reference, that's the guy there, yeah, should be using, let me just see if I can find it, there you go. It switched to use the XML serializer because it spotted that the data contract serializer wouldn't work for that particular shape of XML that's coming back from that Asmx service. So in WCF, we do have, even in Silverlight, the XML serializer and the data contract serializer. Now, they're both subsets of what you get on the desktop, but they are both there. And even the proxy generation tool is smart enough to see that we needed the XML serializer for this, which is pretty neat. In terms of how this is actually being called, there are no client-side Asmx web services classes. It's done with WCF, so WCF can, of course, call onto these Asmx services. And so what we get is a WCF proxy, and that has been configured by this client config, which gets built into your application. If we take a look at this, if you've done any WCF, you'll be very familiar with this. So what we just did was we added a reference to our local host Asmx service, and it is using a basic HTTP binding with no security, and that's kind of it, really. So that's really what's just got added as part of doing that. And so consequently, we can go and use our code. Let's go and run some code on Asmx service. What did we call that thing? Was it Asmx proxy code? We've got a people service client in there. So we say proxy equals a new one of those. And that just gets created up. And then we can say proxy dot. And you'll notice there's some things on here for cookies and client credentials and so on. But what I actually want to do is go ahead and just say get people async handling the event. So let's just say, let's do this in line if we can. And let's say proxy dot get people async. Okay, so we're just going ahead, calling that asynchronously, getting a result back. And then this is going to give us an async event arg so we can check, was it cancelled? No. And the error is null. So that's kind of cool. Then if that worked, then what we can go ahead and do is get the result. And the result in our case is going to be an array of person objects. We could say, did we name it this.listbox.dataContext? So just being explicit is e.result, and that's a set of people that we get back from that web service. I would probably choose to do this on the client stack. So I'd probably choose to do that stuff on the client stack, and so that we can deal with SOAP faults and so on that come back from the proxy. So what I'm going to perhaps do for the rest of this video is move everything to the client stack. So we'll say that when the application is loaded, what we'll try and do is just say web request, and you've seen this in the HTTP video, register prefix to move to the client stack, and let's just say web request creator. Let's just fix that namespace. Let's just fix that namespace dot client HTTP. So we're saying all HTTP requests are going over the client stack. Let's see if that pans out for us. There's another issue really around threading, so let's just put a breakpoint here, and let's just go and put a breakpoint here and see how that works out as well. So press F5, spin this stuff up. I've no idea which is the start project, so maybe it's going to spin up the wrong project. Let's see how it goes. No, it's spinning up the ASPX page. So let's just go and tell it to spin up the... Let's set that as the start project. Let's set that as the start page. Let's press F5. Yeah. Spin that stuff up. And I don't know what we did with our UI, but maybe we get a list box and a button in an ideal world. Okay, so let's just check in the debugger what thread we're on right now. Let's just say debug Windows threads. Window comes up. And you can see at the moment we're on our main thread, 2896. Let's run that through. We've got our button. Let's click our button. Hopefully it goes and calls that service and gets some data back. And you can see we're on our main thread, 2896. So we didn't have to sort of try and marshal that back to any weird threads or anything like that. But for whatever reason, we've not got any data back. Actually, I think we have got data. It's just not displaying properly. So what did we do with that? Let's just take a look at what person looks like. We want a person. No, that's not good. Let's just take a look at what's happened with our service reference. Just looking for my person class. And you'll notice that everything's back with lower casing all over it. So that's not really that great for me, because I'd use my binding with uppercase. So let's go and change our UI for a second to put a first name, a last name. This is because I use that element-centric XML where I actually gave these things lowercase names. Let's spin this back up again and see if it works any better. Click our little button. Yeah, we don't need the breakpoint at that point. Let's go click our little button. We're going to fire another breakpoint probably. Run on. And that's better. First name 1, first name 2. You get the idea as to how that's working. So that was just simply because I got casing wrong between the data binding and the actual proxy generation. So that's fine. So we can call an ASMX service. And the reason for showing you that was just to say, you know, that if you've got ASMX services out there, we can still call them, even though it's WCF on the client side. It is interoperable enough to make that call. Okay, so let's just close down a few things there. And let's go take a look at another service. So back on our service site, which is this guy over here, we've got another service, which is a WCF service. It's living in a folder called Basic Auth, and the service is WCF People Service. And if you take a look at that, you'll see that... wrong website. You'll see that in our code here, I've got IWCF People Service, this guy here. And all he is a service contract that says we have an operation that knows how to get a bunch of people. So it's kind of the same service, but re-implemented in WCF. And if we take a look at that WCF people service, you'll see that all it's doing is returning that same list of people as before. So that's all kind of very simple. If we look at this basic auth service folder, let's just go over to IIS config, which is this guy here. And you'll spot that this basic auth service folder, if I can just size this correctly, we don't allow anything other than basic auth. So to get into that folder, you've got to authenticate yourself. And I think if we just take a look at this, let's just have a look. Where is my SSL configuration for that? So also on that folder, we require SSL. So that kind of makes sense for basic auth. It's pretty realistic that you would want SSL. Otherwise, you're kind of wasting your time, really. So we've got SSL switched on, and we're doing basic authentication onto that particular folder. If we take a look at the configuration in the web file here, web config, let's just have a look at that. Let me just lay this out for you. So what we're saying is that we have a service. It's the one I just showed you, the WCF People Service. And it has an endpoint, which is just at the IIS address, using the basic HTTP binding, offering that contract I just showed you, and configuring the endpoint and the behavior a certain way. So the binding is being configured to use transport security, i.e. HTTPS, and basic auth credential type coming in. So we're actually configuring that on the binding for WCF. And then the service is being configured to offer metadata over HTTPS. So it says HTTPS enabled is true. So hopefully, let's go and see, can we view that service in a browser? Let's just go there and do view in browser. Let's click yes for whatever we just changed. And so IIS says, well, you've got to be authenticated and you've got to go over SSL for this. So let's try going over SSL. I create myself an immediate problem because my certificate on SSL is not a localhost certificate. It's my full domain name, so that's europe.corp.microsoft.com. And that should now allow me to connect to the site, but then remember it's hidden behind basic auth, so we need to give that login, and I think I have one. And then we can probably log in and see that stuff, and we could also get the WSDL for it, and there's the WSDL for it. So there's the WCF service that we want to connect to and call. The only complication, quite realistically, is we've put it behind HTTPS, and we've also put it behind basic auth. Okay, great. So let's go back to our Silverlight client. Okay, so let's go back to our client. I've probably created a difficult situation for myself here, but let's see how it goes. And we'll add a service reference, and I want to add a service reference to that basic auth service there, but you can't get at it that way. You need to go at it via HTTPS, I think. So let's say HTTPS, and let's put a full name into that, and let's see if that gives us any joy. So we'll call this basic auth proxy code, something like that. Let's see if we have any fun with that. It says Visual Studio knows we need to authenticate in clear text. That'll do for now. So let's try doing that. Not sure whether this is working for me or not. And cool, Visual Studio seems to have done the right thing, and it's even spotted that there's a lack of cross-domain policy, which is going to be interesting. That's exactly what I wanted to highlight. So Visual Studio is actually smarter than me, which is no great surprise. Okay, so let's assume that Visual Studio hadn't said that, or I temporarily closed my eyes whilst it said it. And let's go back to our UI and try and call this service over basic auth. So we go back to our UI. I'm going to probably have to break the UI slightly. Let's just add another button on here into row 2, and we'll have this called call basic auth service. And we'll have this as on basic auth service, something like that. And let's add another row to our grid up here, which we can do by simply copying that and pasting that. And I suspect that because I used that lowercase, my binding probably not going to work on this particular service, so I'm just going to cheat and change these to first name, last name, and age. That might get me some help. And then let's go to our code behind and implement that on basic auth service function. So it's going to look very similar to this one. Let's just go and say on basic auth service. And what I want to do is use the basic auth service proxy code where I get a proxy. And we'll make a new one of those. And then what we want to do is similar to what we did before. So we want to say proxy dot. It'll be asynchronous. And we'll come back to talk about credentials and so on in a moment. Let's say proxy dot get people completed plus equals sender event args produces. And then we'll say proxy dot get people async. So we're going to make that call. And then when this actually comes back, we want to say if not cancelled and if e.error equals null, then things were good. And what we'll do here is simply say again this dot listbox dot data context equals e dot result. And we didn't actually do anything to specifically select this, but you'll notice that WCF has passed as an observable collection. That's actually settable on the add reference dialog, but observable collection is fine for what we want here. Okay, great. We didn't look at the config that was generated there, so let's take a look at the config that was generated. You can see that we've got an endpoint that's pointing to HTTPS, mtolty dot, all that URL, big long URL. And then on the binding side, it's saying that security mode on this is transport. So that looks kind of reasonable to me. Let's go back. Okay, so you probably remember that we have been working on the client stack, but that was over HTTP. we need to make sure that we also do that for HTTPS. So let's just put HTTPS into our registration there so that we're working on the client stack for now. We'll talk about the details of this in a minute. Let's put a breakpoint here and let's press F5. And so we spin up our client and we click our button and hopefully we get our breakpoint. And we can see that we've got an error. And if we look at our error somewhere in there, there's probably an inner exception. There it is. And it's a security exception. Okay, so this was not entirely surprising because we don't have any cross-domain policy set up at the moment. So let's go and add into this solution my existing website, which is just the root website that I'll do there. And in there, I've got a client access policy, but it's not got the right extension on. So let's just rename that and make it .xml. And if we take a look at that, we've seen this in the HTTP videos, so we're saying we allow any HTTP method from localhost to come into the WCF site. Now, from what we saw in the HTTP videos, this should be enough, but in fact it won't be enough. And if we press F5 and try again, I'm expecting to still get a security error, and you can see there's the communication exception, and inside there somewhere is the security exception. And the reason for this is because we're not just doing HTTP here, we're doing SOAP over HTTP. And there's an aspect of that client access policy that we haven't seen yet, which relates to passing headers. And if we go and revisit our client access policy over here, what we need to add to it is, I think, HTTP request headers. And we need to allow the SOAP action header to flow across. And I think if we allow that, let's just go press F5 again on this and click our button, then we should see an interesting error on this, which is a different one from what we had before. Our inner exception, if we can just take a look at it, I can't quite get to it. Our inner exception here is now a not found. It's not a security exception anymore. It's a not found. Now that's kind of interesting. Let's just switch to the browser stack for a minute. So instead of using the client stack, let's use the browser stack. Let's press F5. And see what happens with the browser stack. So call the service, and you'll notice it comes straight up and asks for credentials, and if we log in, we then get no error and everything is fine. So that's just kind of working. So notice what I just did there. If we ran on the browser stack, things were fine. If we ran on the client stack, things didn't work. Now, I actually believe that's a bit of a sort of gremlin in the beta. I think the client stack should equally be prompting you for credentials at that point and then should do the login. So I shouldn't have had to move to the browser stack there. I tried to check this with the Silverlight team and the feedback I got back was that the client stack sitting under this proxy should equally be prompting you for those credentials. So I think that's just a feature of the beta. So whilst I showed you it working on the browser stack, try and get into your mind that it should also work on the client stack. Now, just whilst we're talking about that, there is a slot on this proxy to specify client credentials in terms of usernames and passwords. I wouldn't expect to be able to do that on the browser stack, because I can't do that using the raw HTTP access methods on the browser stack. But I would expect, hopefully, to be able to do that on the client stack. Now, in the beta at the time of making the video, I can't do it on either stack. So again, that's probably just a limitation of the beta. So hopefully you get the idea of where we are here. Even though we hit a couple of limitations that are just there in the beta right now. We'll have to review this as we get to a later version of Silverlight that's public. Okay, so that's kind of that for that particular service. We do have one more service on our website, and if we go back to our website that contains all our services, in this folder, Username and Password Service, we've got another service. In fact, it's the exact same service. It's just in a different folder. That's all it is. And it's been configured a different way, though. If we take a look at webconfig, you'll see, if we just highlight this out for you, it's the same service over the same binding with the same contract. And the binding has been changed slightly. Previously, we were using transport security, which meant basic authentication in our case. Here we are using transport with message credential. So that means HTTPS, but in the message, the actual SOAP message, we want to put, in this case, username. There are other things you can put in there with SOAP security, but we're using username. So we're saying send a message, and in there there's a special header with usernames and passwords in it, and that's how we are doing that here. Just out of interest, on the server side, we're switching on HTTPS for metadata again, and we're actually taking the username and password that is passed to us and running them through ASP.NET membership. That's just a feature of WCF. So we're saying, hey, send us a SOAP header with a username and password in it, encrypted over SSL, and we will then push that into ASP.NET membership to figure out whether you are a decent username and password or not. And that's how this third service here is actually configured. Okay, so let's just close things down. By the way, if we go into IIS configuration, and we look at that username and password site, you can see that from an authentication perspective, it allows anonymous. And from just a SSL perspective, it requires SSL. So just kind of illustrate that. Let's go back to Visual Studio. Okay, so let's go back to our solution over here. Let's make sure we save that file. And what we don't want to do, of course, from our client is we want to go ahead and add a service reference to that thing. So if we go and discover again, let's use the username password version. But that needs to be accessed over HTTPS, just the way I've surfaced my metadata, I guess. And let's say put in a proper name for that so that the certificate doesn't complain. And hopefully we can call that username proxy code, something like that. Let's try that. Okay, so we've got a reference to that now in our project. Let's go back to our UI and add yet another button into there. And let's just scroll down to create a new row in our grid. And finally, down at the bottom here, let's create another button. And that button we'll just be calling username auth service, and we'll call that on username. On username auth service. That's going to go into grid row 3. And let's jump to the code behind this. And we write some very similar code to what we've written already. So we'll just go ahead and say on username auth service. And what we need to do is use the username proxy code. We have a proxy in there, let's call that proxy, let's create a new one of those. And then let's go and say proxy dot get people a completed plus equals an event handler. We'll just write one in line, and then we'll say proxy dot get people async. And then having got the data back from this, we can say if not e.cancelled and e.errors is null, then we've got a result, and we should be able to go ahead and just say something like this dot data context, or actually list box, isn't it, dot data context. Equals e.result, which again is coming back with an observable collection of people, which look just like the other people that we brought back earlier on. Let's take a look into our client config again. Here's our client config. And you'll notice that we've got a new binding in there that's pointing to HTTPS and our username password service. And this one is saying that it is using binding with security of transport with message credential. And so what we should be able to do, I suppose perhaps first let's just see if we can make it fail. That's always a good way to start, I think. And let's put a breakpoint here and see what happens. Let's press F5. I don't know if we've set up everything we needed to set up, but let's try it. And so we run this up. Let's click our third button to try and call that service. And we see an invalid operation exception, which is kind of what I was hoping for. Let's just see what we've got in there. And the username is not provided, so we didn't actually provide any credentials, so that's not a good idea. So what we could do, and I'm just curious as to which stack we're currently running on. I want to switch myself back to the client stack and see if that works for us. So apologies for doing that on the browser stack, but I think it would work either way. So on the client stack, which is where I would normally be for these kind of service invocations, let's go to our proxy and set up client credentials, and we have a username. And that's an ASP.NET membership username. I think I've got a user over there called Mike. And I think I've got a password over there of password, something like that, I think. Let's go and see how that works out for us. Let's press F5. So those credentials should now be going into the SOAP message over SSL across to that service. We'd hope to get back a response from that. And we've got no error, so we'd expect to get some data, and we get data on the screen. Just to show you that validation is really going on, let's change that password and take a character out of it and press F5. And we'd expect now that when we make that service call across there, let's do that, then you can see we've got an error, message security exception, because we sent the wrong password and nothing comes back in terms of data. So whilst this isn't a definitive tour of WCF over HTTP, I hope that you get the idea that we support, obviously, HTTP. There's different ways you can do authentication. Probably a common one would be the last one we just finished up there, using transport with message credential. You can see how that works. You can even plug it into ASP.NET membership on the server side, going over SSL, and that it brings in that idea of cross-domain again. You know, so that thing is always there, really, in Silverlight when you're using HTTP, even if you're in WCF up above it. And as we said previously, though, if you were an out-of-browser trusted application, that would kind of go away. But for the sort of core scenario of running in the browser, you need to factor those into your considerations. Okay, so I'll leave other WCF transports to a different video, and we'll come back and talk about TCP and WCF.